They're all called to share and spread the gospel of the Lord. And so today is going to be about ministry outside of these church walls. And so we have two guest speakers. I'm going to bring Lori up first. This is Lori Bear. Her ministry is His Haven Ranch, and she's going to talk about that with us. And then we have Jeff Stewart, who will come up after her. Nope. Okay, let's see. Keep that there. Just push this little button right there.
All right, am I on? I was a little nervous to put this on after that amazing worship because I realized how sweaty I was and that most people come to church with a Kleenex. I come with paper towels. Oh, I wish somebody would start making some worship do-rags or something. I don't know. So it's a treat to be here today. Would you pray with me before we get started? Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your goodness. It knows no end. And we just worship you, Lord. Lord, your word says that it never goes out void. It always accomplishes what you desire for it to accomplish. So, Lord, I'm just trusting you with that promise today that you will allow me to represent you, the King of Kings, and the ministry of hope that you deliver through His Haven Ranch in a good way that brings you glory and makes you famous. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. His Haven Ranch is a, if any of you have been there, and I see lots of faces of people who have been there, it's a pretty little operation. We exist on 45 plus acres, and we have 5 horses, which is a pretty small herd when you talk about horses. These are a few of our horses, if you look up on the slides here, and we have some horses back here in this round pen. Right now, our operation is on about 2.5 acres with a 150 by 300 foot outdoor arena that an Eagle Scout did for his project. It's a very, very big arena. We also have a gazebo that another Eagle Scout did, a screened-in gazebo. And we have an Eagle Scout in our congregation who did a paver patio and is going to be doing a fire pit there, too, for our families and our riders to be able to enjoy when they come. This is just a little picture of what we are right now. I'd like to invite you to come back to the table to share the bigger dream that God's given us in putting up an indoor riding arena so that we can be a year-round facility. God's got big plans. I don't know if that will be an Eagle Scout project. I think that will be a work of many hands. So His Haven Ranch is a horseback riding program. And what we do at the ranch is make a place where we can empower and transform lives through healing in the Savior. That transaction takes place through working with the horses. Jesus met ordinary people in ordinary places, even unlikely places. Last week, Pastor Doyle spoke about the woman at the well, unlikely place. I think about the ranch as that unlikely place and how everything that transacts there must be motivated by love, must be motivated by His love for us. It's the goodness of the Lord that causes us to reach out. John 10:10 says that the thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And when I heard that verse for the first time, all I could think was, the enemy came to steal my joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? He came to kill our peace, because without peace, what do we have to offer? Anybody. There's enough chaos in the world. And he came to destroy God's plan for my life. And the way Satan does that is he lies. He lies to us. He is the father of lies. And Jesus doesn't end that scripture there. He says, but I came, Jesus' plan and his purpose was to give us a rich and satisfying life. So we make this place at the ranch. It's a very simple place where individuals can come and find that hope that we have in Christ. The Bible says we're to share the hope that lies within us. We're not supposed to hang on to it and bury it deep and not let anybody know about it. We all learn the song, hide it under a bushel. No, I got to let it shine. So we want to let our light and our love for Jesus shine. Let me see here. My husband's doing the slides. Thank you, Scott. The ranch is a place where we want to make opportunities. Nope, go back, honey. Opportunities for anyone to come. We have a pretty liberal intake program. If you are struggling with depression, if you are having any self-injurious behaviors or thoughts, if you are feeling lonely, and like nothing matters in your world, we want to be that place where you come. We want to be that well where the Samaritan woman went. We want to be that place where you come and find rest and hear. Psalm 46:10 is one of my favorite scriptures. Be still and know that I am God. It's one of my favorite scriptures. It's one of the hardest ones for me to do. I'm a doer. I'm a busy girl. We want to make a safe place. Many of our individuals, I'm going to give you some statistics later on, they have come from backgrounds. They have had hurts in their life. The woman that came to the well was a hurting woman. There are a lot of hurting people in our world. We can look away or we can look straight at it and we can relay the love of Jesus there. We want to share our love with others as we share our mutual love of horses. Obviously, we're a horse program. So if you like really hate horses or can't stand to be around anything like that, we're not a really good fit for you. But there are a lot of people we're an awesome fit for. And even sometimes some of our riders may come in and go, oh, you know, they walk into the barn like, oh, is it going to smell like this every time? And it's a barn. Yes, it's a barn. It's going to smell like this every time. And it's amazing how quickly they get past that when they begin to feel the peace and the love of the Lord in that environment. It's not a fancy barn. It was built in the 1920s. It's a stone barn. It's a very ordinary barn filled with an extraordinary presence of the Lord in it. So can you go to the next one, hon? These are just some pictures of the kids at the ranch this summer. Through their time at the ranch, our riders are there for 90 minutes, and that sounds like a really long time. And I know I have some riders in here. It's not a very long time. 90 minutes goes by very quickly. And what we do in that time is break it into different components where they're learning about their God, themselves, their horse, and the world around them. We come alongside our riders. I'm not an expert. Lots of times someone will ask me something, and I'll say, well, I don't know. Maybe we should look for that together in one of our next Bible studies. I don't know everything, but I know the one who does, so we can go to him. And we really teach very basic, simple life lessons from the back of a horse. And those life lessons start out with building trust. Trust isn't something or shouldn't be something we just give to anybody and everybody. Satan would love that because he could really do a lot of havoc and destruction. Trust is something that we build. Trust is something that we grow. And with horses, we're working with an 800 to a 2,000-pound animal right now at the ranch. We want to make sure we have some trust built there before we climb on their back and ask them to do things for us. So they learn a lot about building trust and communication. I don't promise anything to anybody except this. I promise you a horse will never speak English. So it's up to you. Do you want to learn to communicate with this horse? Because if you do, then it's upon you to learn how to communicate the way a horse does. And that's an interesting project because most of our riders are girls, and I'll be like, less words, less words, less words. And, you know, I have that same issue because it causes you to self-regulate and to think about the word you are going to use. That translates into our families, too. Think about the word you're going to use before they come through. God gave us two lips. It's like a gate so that the words don't just vomit out of us all the time. They have to go through this first. Our teeth are even in there. So we learn a lot about communication, and one of the very last things we really talk about and want to hit home with is boundaries. Most of us didn't grow up with real functional boundaries. I think if any of us looks hard enough, we can see dysfunctional boundaries in our family, in our current family. So we talk a lot about boundaries, and boundaries are a lot easier to teach when you're working with a big animal because personal space becomes a little bigger when you have a big horse right next to you, or at least we hope it will get bigger so you don't get trampled on. So trust, communication, boundaries, those are our core components. Starting with God, using that horse as an example, as a object lesson, I guess, and just coming alongside our riders. You can see our rider up there was doing a lunge line. People are like, oh, that's so easy. All you do is stand there and go in a circle. Yeah, right. Tell it to the riders. Okay. We offer riding opportunities to individuals. Now, this will be the population we serve. Anybody who's emotionally vulnerable. They've been through something. We all have something that's maybe hurt us in our past. Lonely, hurting, need a loving mentor, have been abused physically or emotionally. Keep on going, hon. There you go. Giddy up. Yes, thank you. I say giddy up a lot. Oh, I have to tell you a quick funny story. I work in the public school, and I have a little boy that I work with who has some behavioral issues, and he was going to miss the bus, and I told him to giddy up, and he's in first grade. He looked at me like this, and he goes, is that all you got? And I was like, you're six. Giddy up. No, I think I said next, buckle up, buttercup, we need to go. So giddy up is a good one. I use it a lot. Our responsibilities as a ranch, this is what our commitment is to our riders, that we will love all people, that we will teach individuals how to care for and ride a horse. So now that means there's work involved. And also that we will share the love of Christ. The Word says that it's through the loving kindness of the Lord that we're led to repentance, that we're led to turn away from what's been stealing, killing, and destroying in our lives. So when we start to receive that love of Christ and His kindness, and I love that last song we sang, because the goodness of the Lord, God is good is such an understatement. I have a friend that likes to call it gooder. He's gooder than good. I don't know. So we're there to share the love of Christ and to be a friend. And when I say that, we're there to be a friend and to share the love of Christ, that doesn't mean we never say hard things. A lot of times the mercy gift is confused as a doormat or some sort of just velvet cushion all around people. But the mercy gift comes with the ability to speak love into situations and truth and to say some really hard things that maybe wouldn't be received outside of the atmosphere of the ranch and of the Lord. So I don't want you to mistake that for being a place where it's all like, oh, yes, yes, yes. It's a learning ground. It's a teaching ground. It's a growing ground. And we know when we grow, things have to change and shift. All right. Thank you, honey. The riders have responsibilities as well. And their responsibilities are, again, like I said, they have to want to come to the ranch. Obviously, if they're coming kicking and screaming, we're not going to be able to put them near a horse because horses magnify the things that we're having happen inside us. So they have to want to come. They have to have a willingness to respect the horses, the staff, and the facility itself. Respect is one of those words that we take for granted, that we think everybody knows what that looks like. This generation doesn't necessarily know what that looks like. We have to model that. We have to reinforce that. It's okay to say, stop. Is that respectful? Is that being respectful towards this horse, towards this volunteer, towards the ranch? A lot of times we're afraid to do that in this society because we're afraid we might hurt somebody's feelings or they're so fragile they might just be devastated. Mm-mm. Most young people really appreciate when we lay those boundaries out and model that before them and reinforce that, because if I didn't believe God had that inside you and that you were able to access the same Holy Spirit I am to be able to have a spirit of self-control and self-regulation, what would be the point? Yeah. They also have to want to know and learn about horses and how to ride. We don't force anybody to ride. If they want to start on the ground, I prefer they start on the ground before they jump on the back of this animal. So they have to want to learn how to be around the horses. And this is the tough one. Sounds easy. Be willing to give back what the horse is going to give them. Love. Now, I want you to picture a garden hose, and we have things happen in our life where our hose gets all knotted up and kinked up, and I'm sure you've turned on your hose before, went to the end, and nothing came out, and you realize you got some big old kinks back there. The Lord's love unkinks those pieces, those places in our heart, and we think giving back is easy. And we have to remember that sometimes things have happened in our lives that cause us to be really guarded and really standoffish and even shut down. And those are the kinks in our hose where we, you know, not only can we not give love, but we're not receiving love either. The horses have the ability to unkink those hoses with the help of the Lord and the Holy Spirit, and we begin to see love flow both ways. So we love that. I'm going to give you just a snippet of a typical day at the ranch. You're going to keep me on time, right? Okay, thank you. Okay, beautiful. When our riders come to the ranch, they're there for 90 minutes. They'll come. Usually we meet up at the arena. We'll give them a little golf cart ride down to the horse barn, and we'll do our Bible study in the horse barn. We typically have two riders going at a time, so that means anywhere between 3 and 5 staff members there that are all volunteers. And that's our check-in time, too. What's going on in your world? It's about a 15-minute window to just get us reset and in a place where we are going to be teachable. The next 15 minutes is about showing love to our horses. Now, love is a response. Everything that we do at the ranch, like I said earlier, must be motivated by God's love for us. And that love is flowing through. So what we want to do is share the word with them and then also demonstrate that love by taking care of the horses. It may include cleaning a horse stall. It might be night feeds. It might be picking up a dry lot. It could be scraping lots of algae out of a Minnesota water tank in August. It will definitely be grooming their horse. That's always part of their spot there. And then that first 15 minutes Bible study, second 15 minutes showing love, the next 15 minutes grooming their horse, and then hopefully the next 30 minutes on the back of that horse. Now remember, we're not there going, it's been 15 minutes, it's been 15 minutes. It's their 90 minutes to do with as they want to do. And if they decide that they would prefer just braiding their horse's tail today and just standing there and talking, it's amazing to me every day that I'm at the ranch, it's amazing to me how God transacts his kingdom work over the back of a horse or under the belly of a horse or at the end of a horse. It's amazing to me. I'm just like, how did you do that? But of course that's how you do that. You sent your son to be born in a stable much cruder than this barn. I think you have a thing for barns, Lord. I don't know. So we get them opened up and talking and sharing about what's going on. Then we have them work with their horse. And working with their horse could be a lot of different things. Like I said, it can be groundwork. It can be in the saddle. It can be just grooming and getting their horse, giving their horse a bath is a pretty cool experience. And then they return their horse to the herd. They put everything away. Everybody takes care of their own stuff at the ranch. Mama Bear's not the maid. She's not the maid. So they take care of all their own stuff. They learn a lot of responsibility. They're given a lot of responsibility, and I think most of them really like that. And then we look ahead. What do you want? Where do you want to go from here? We tend to not spend time in the past. Yep, that happened. Now what? That was the enemy trying to take your purpose and your destiny. He didn't win. Now what? Let's go forward. So we like looking ahead is my favorite part because that's where you see the growth and the purpose coming. This is the statistics we have on the people that we serve. And I just modified it this month. 48% of our riders have no relationship with their birth fathers. None. 28% are adopted or in a foster care system right now. 37% live in a single-parent family, predominantly mamas. And 87% of our riders are young women. I can't tell you enough the importance of dads in our kids' lives. Pastor Doyle shared a slide with us not so very long ago, and I asked his permission to put it in here again. Will you go to that slide, hon? If a child is the first to come to know Christ, there's a 31% chance the rest of the family will follow and come to know Jesus as well. If a mom is the first, 17%. If the dad is the first, 93%. The Lord says in his word, I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters. That's his promise. So when we sit with our riders and we look at their situation, you can't do anything about anybody else's choices, but you do have the Holy Spirit in you to be able to help you with the choices that you will make going forward. God is always our Father. He never runs out on us. He never walks away. He never leaves. He never disappears and doesn't come back. He's always our Father, and he wants to step in if you'll let him. The thing with the Lord is he's always a gentleman. He'll never push. He'll never shove. He'll never manipulate his way in. He just waits. So when we're at the ranch, it's our desire that we will make a place for love to grow. Honey, would you go back one now? I'm sorry. We want to make a place for love to grow. The horse that's kissing the rider on the top screen, we lost him this summer in July very unexpectedly. And the horse in the bottom slide, it's a silhouette of a young woman riding at dusk. That was another horse that we lost at the ranch. And we like to remember our horses because they are ministering agents of the Lord. And we understand that ministering agents don't always have wings on their backs. They can be people with skin on, or they can be critters with fur on. So we're grateful for the horses that God has blessed us with. I want to close today with a scripture out of Ephesians 4. If you would turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 11. I had a friend who we didn't have very long on this side of heaven together. His name was Ron Grindelin. He died from cancer several years ago, but Ron was considered disabled in the world's eyes. Ron grew up in an orphanage. He was abandoned at birth. He lived in the state hospital until he was able to get himself out as an adult. I can't remember how old he was, but he was an adult when he got out. And Ron Grindelin, who the world saw as disabled, the Lord sees through the lens of he has different abilities. And one of my friends, Ronnie's greatest strengths was to always ask himself this question, did I do my part? Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 says this. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Now, if you're here saying, I'm not a preacher, I'm not an evangelist, I don't even think I could stand up in front of you like that, well, that's a lie that the enemy's telling you, and everybody in this room has a part. If you've ever heard the word or the song by Matthew West, Do Something, in that song, the songwriter says, God, look at all this bad stuff going around. Why don't you do something? And God said, I did. I made you and you and you and you and you and all of you to do something. We're the hands and feet. So let it be so, Lord.
Yeah, thank you, Lori.
Yes.
As she passes the microphone off to Jeff, I'm just going to invite you. She will be in the entranceway after service, and she's got a table. There's more information about His Haven Ranch. And they have a fall barbecue and horse show coming up October 4th, 11:30 to 4. It's a wonderful, wonderful time. It's out in Le Sueur. Is that where you guys? Le Sueur? That way. next, we have Jeff Stewart. He is a wonderful man who came from Coon Rapids. Heard about our school, the School of Supernatural Ministry. He is a second-year student this year, and he's just going to share about how God uses him in his life. So thank you.
Thank
Welcome,
you.
Jeff.
Can you guys hear me okay? This is actually the most nerve-wracking time of the conversation is, did you get the mic on okay? And does it stay on? I've had too many times where Doyle would ask Sue to come up and grab tape so it stays onto his ears. So, Lori, great job. Thank you for the testimony on the horses. That was really awesome. So the good news is we don't need eloquence today. We need the Spirit of God. We need His power. And I don't come to you today with a heavy amount of eloquence, but what I hope today is to bring you the Spirit of God and the power of God to touch your lives. Pastor Linda said, my wife and I, we have three wonderful kids. We got to get to know each other a little bit better, right, before I just jump in. My wife and I have three wonderful kids. We live actually in New Hope, Minnesota, so I drive down about an hour to school. I've been at your school I did year one this past year, heading into year two. For those of you who haven't been to the School of Supernatural Ministry, I got to do a plug. Come to the prophecy, hearing from God, is it next Saturday? The fourth. Come to that, because that's the secret to what I'm going to talk to you about today. And by the way, my wife isn't doing my slides today. Oh, yeah, perfect. All right. Awesome. So I called this one, I Am Waiting for You, and it's in capital letters for a reason. So we'll get there. Lori said something interesting. She said the world is breaking apart, something like that. And I don't know, for those of you who are out in the workforce or whether you're in your homes like a mom, that's the truth. I mean, you see a lot of sad, depressed, angry, disappointed people. And that's in the church and it's in the world, sadly. But what I'm seeking after is the glory of God. And I define the glory of God as His power, His presence, and His goodness. There's a lot of great teaching out there, and we need teaching. But what these folks need to see is His power, His presence, and His goodness. And I'm going to show you some of that in just a minute, because what I want to do today is stir you up with some brief testimonies, some tips, and maybe a little bit of teaching if we have time. Okay? So, can you imagine this? Can you imagine if... So, I define workplace as a mom in the home, because I watch my wife work. She works harder than I do. And out in the workforce. So, can you imagine if Jesus showed up in your workplace tomorrow? You can read about it in the Bible, because Jesus showed up at Peter's workplace, right? You guys remember the story? Peter was all frustrated, fishing all night, wasn't catching any fish, right? And Jesus comes, and they have a little discussion, and the next thing you know, they're in the boat, they're heading out, and here's tip number one for those of you in the workplace: Jesus knows where the fish are. And He knows how to call them in if they're not there. So there's like this two-minute clip in the Bible. If you ever saw the Bible miniseries, it's great. They're out there talking. Next thing you know, they're out there, and they're just slaving away, just moving the fish into the boat because Jesus told them where to go. He argued with them, like I do sometimes. He argued with them, but the fish come in. So you can read about that, but I'm going to show you in a second how he's done that for me and how He can do that for you. So if you could, could you go to the next slide? Assignments. A child of God sent by Him here to make a difference. So I've been born again for 18 years. And it didn't take me too long to figure out that as I was going through my young life, in my young assignment, that I needed some help. And so one of the things that the Lord showed me was we don't actually have a career, folks. A career is, I just don't like the term, it makes it feel like it's self-serving. So to me, it's all about assignment, okay? So assignment, I'm a child of God sent by Him. It's like, okay, so when I think about my workplace, I think about it this way. I show up in Jesus' office, okay, and He gives me where I need to go, what I need to do, hands me a sheet of paper, and then I go. It's a different mentality than a career. A career, a little more self-serving. An assignment is, I'm a child of God, blessed of God, coming into my workplace to make a difference. And that's just a huge perspective change that I had. So this was my assignment path. If you go, yeah, you can go to the next one, dear. There we go. So here are some of my assignments. I worked 10 years at a company called Natural Ovens Bakery, 4 years at a company called Tree of Life. That's my favorite name, by the way, Tree of Life. And then thirdly, I'm currently working at a company called Angie's Boom Chicka Pop Popcorn, 4 years, 4.5 years there. So I'm going to testify to you now, all right, to God's goodness. You ready? Okay. So at Natural Ovens Bakery, I started out picture a FedEx guy, okay? I was like a bread sales guy. All right, so I worked every day but Wednesday and Sunday from like 3 in the morning till 1 in the afternoon. Yes, I said 3 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon. That's how you learn discipline, okay? So for 2 years doing that, and I started out on the smallest route in the smallest bread company in probably the upper Midwest. And so as I met my wife my first year on the job, she was making more money than I was. My first route was grossing $2,000 a week, gross sales, which meant I was making $400 a week. That is not enough to help fulfill Megan's dream, my wife, which was, I want to be home, I want to have 3 kids, and that's the way it's going to be. So what we did, I'd been born again about a year and a half, so all I knew to do was pray in agreement. I'm like, all right, honey. We pray in agreement. We believe God, thank you. Just do a miracle in Jesus' name. I can't see it happening, but thank you anyway. Hallelujah. So, okay. So, it took a couple years before this miracle I'm going to share with you that happened. And before I do, I just want to say this because I feel assigned to do it. There's too many of us have abortions, and I want to be careful how I say that. But we abort too quickly on the assignments that God has given us for a variety of bad reasons. You know, we get frustrated, so we quit. People aren't treating us right. I mean, we got all the reasons why we quit the assignment that God has us on. And I tried to, too, because for the next couple years, it just wasn't looking any better, okay? And so if you're on assignment and it's tough there, don't quit. It's for somebody out there. Don't quit, because you don't know what Jesus is working on. Hang in there, okay? All right, let's go to the next slide, please. Okay, so here's my sales. You can see this here. So Minnesota region sales in 1996, as a depot, five of us, we did $15,000 a week in gross sales, okay? We made $780,000 a year in gross sales in 1996 when I first started. In the year 2000-ish, we were up to $100,000 a week in sales and $5.2 million per year. Now, that's the goodness of God. Let me tell you how it happened. So sometimes the blessing of God will overtake you. So I'm doing my route sales thing. I'm actually bringing, I remember this in my mind's eye, I'm picturing two trays of bread into the Byerly's in Minnetonka. I merchandise my shelf. I walk back out the door. It's a Saturday morning. I come back on a Monday morning, and this is probably what I look like, and the shelf was completely wiped out. Teeth marks, you know. And then as I look to my right, the grocery manager is just running at me. I mean, he's upset, and he basically said to me, hey, was probably some lovely term, you were out of bread at 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. And I had a whole bunch of angry, mainly females, standing around, upset at me. And so you just stand there stunned because that hadn't happened in 2 years. And what I found out was, anybody here a Weight Watchers? You guys hear Weight Watchers? Yeah, everybody has, right? It's like the Geico commercial. Everybody's heard of Weight Watchers. Weight Watchers in like 1998 changed their entire protocol for how they count food against your program. It was a point system they created based on fiber. And it just so happened that my bread, bagels, muffins, cookies, everything we sold in our portfolio fit perfectly to their regimen. Yeah, so I'm saying, don't give up on God. You don't know what He's doing. For 2 years, I'm like, in my truck, you gonna do something? You know, I mean, good grief. And so, And so what happened was they'd hold their bread, our bread products up at the meeting. And they'd say, the company is Natural Ovens Bread. You can buy here, 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 here. Here's your list. It started in the Twin Cities, and then it grew to the upper Midwest. We had no marketing dollars for that. I mean, that's the goodness of God. That's the glory of God that I was just speaking of a minute ago. What did I do? I just stayed faithful. I didn't quit, you know. I also call it the Obed-Edom concept. If you look in, I think it's 2 Samuel 5, you'll see the Ark of the Covenant was on the way to Jerusalem, but it stopped in a city in a guy's house named Obed-Edom. And his house just prospered because he was there. The ark was there. Well, you're the ark of the new covenant. So at a minimum, what you could do is just believe that when you show up, that place is going to prosper. And then maybe keep your mouth quiet. Keep your mouth shut. All right. So second assignment. This is a good one. Go to the next slide, if you would, please. All right. So that's Jesus laughing. I mean, I'm a big picture guy, okay? I like pictures. This is Jesus laughing. Here's why he was laughing, because I showed up on my next assignment, and the place was in turmoil. So we did gross sales company, about $1.2 billion in sales. That year previous that I came, we lost $20 million. I mean, this place was a joke. I mean, it was terrible. Morale was bad. We were losing customers like crazy. It was a bad situation. And Jesus didn't tell me, okay? And they didn't tell me either. And so I showed up, and I was looking to try to get out of there, quite honestly. And the doors were shut because He shut them. And look, sometimes Jesus will put us in extremely difficult situations. And you'll go running for the exit. And the point is that sometimes He needs you there to do a kingdom rescue operation. Now, He did that for us. I wasn't the only one. I mean, there were a number of us that turned that thing around. It took 4 years, but we eventually started turning a profit, and things made a difference. But again, it was Jesus on the scene, and it was at that time in my most desperate moments, and please get this point, He is waiting for you to come and meet with Him about how to win in your place of work, whether it's at home or at work. And that's when I would wake up. I would go to bed at night with so many problems, you guys. And I'd wake up with solutions. But I was so religious in my prayer time that I would come, and ideas were coming up out of my spirit, and I was pushing them down, saying, no, I'm here to confess the word, I'm here to pray, and I'm here to read the word. Be quiet with those good ideas. Isn't that stupid? I mean, really. So as soon as I started listening to those, I'm like, that's a really good idea. I think, well, it's in you, guys. It's in you. So if you could, yeah, see, there it is. He is waiting for you. I told you I'm a big picture guy. That's the only one I could find with Jesus with a cup of coffee. I have a cup of coffee with Jesus almost every morning. I'm serious. He is my life. So make time with Jesus. He'll give you the ideas and don't push him down. All right, round and third, heading for home. Angie's Popcorn, if you've heard of us, they're out of Mankato, Minnesota. True story, when I started, just before I started with them, I met with Dan, Angie, their brother, the VP of sales, and their advisor. 5-on-1 interview. I know, it was a strange interview, truly. So in that process, I felt I had nothing to lose. I said to them, look, if you hire me, the God of prosperity is coming with me, and he will prosper this place. Truly, I had nothing to lose. I don't even know why I said it, except for it just popped up. All right? Here's why I said it. Go to the next one. Take a look at that. 2010, gross sales, $8 million. Not bad for a small company. 2014, we're going to gross over $80 million. In 4 years, you guys. Now, there's so many reasons I could tell you why that's happening. Listen for the workshop that we're doing probably in January at the school and come and check it out because we'll go into more details there. The point is, it's not me. It is him. And we're just learning to tap into that. Okay. Genesis 1 and 2. I'm walking through the airport one day, and I hear the Lord say, become a Genesis 1 and 2 and a Revelation 21 and 22 guy. First thing I do is make sure there's 22 chapters in Revelation. I did. I truly did. The second thing I do, I read Genesis 1 and 2, and in there you look at verse 10 of chapter 2. You'll see a part about rivers and gold. It's really out of place. So I asked the Lord on the plane. I said, look, that 10 through 14 is really out of place. I wish I could read it to you. I can't. And so I go to bed that night, 3 in the morning I wake up, and he shows me this. Look, it's talking about rivers, it's talking about land, and it's talking about gold. Okay? And what he's saying there is in the land he has placed you. You remember the story of Genesis 1 and 2? He created us, right? His image and likeness. And then in the land he put Adam and Eve to cultivate it and to keep it, right? Well, the land is your assignment. And he's placed you there. It's your place at work, or whether it's at home or at work, he's placed you there. And in those verses, it talks about that there's gold there. Okay? There's gold. Rivers and gold. Hang in there with me. I know I'm spacing you out. Just hang in there with me. Because rivers, when you irrigate the land will expose the gold. When you irrigate your place of assignment with his presence, power, and his goodness, the land will irrigate and it will reveal gold. That's gold right there. Yeah, it is. So John 7:37, he says, come to me and drink, and out of you will flow rivers of living water. Irrigate your place of work, whether it's at work or at home. Okay? Got to wrap it up. More to come. All right, that's just a little trickle. Sorry, I know. There's so much more. Like I said, we're going to do a workshop. We're going to do more on this in the weeks and the months ahead. So thank you, guys. God bless you.